Welcome to Off the Grid Radio. Better ideas to bust you and your family out of today's global control grid. Now, here's today's show.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Off the Grid Radio. I'm Michael Faust of OffTheGridNews.com. Imagine this. You're awakened in the middle of the night by the sound of breaking glass. Your spouse leaves the bedroom with a handgun and is stunned to confront the intruder in the hallway. A scuffle ensues and your spouse loses the weapon. What should you do? If you're not sure, stay tuned because we have the man with the answers today. His name is James B. Toll, and he hosts a TV show called Stop the Threat that you'll find engaging and helpful in your self-defense knowledge. He and a panel of experts examine crimes that actually have happened, like the one previously mentioned, and then discuss the law-abiding citizen's answer. It airs on the Sportsman's Channel and the Pursuit Channel, and I promise that you'll love it if you just tune in. But first, let's talk about today's sponsor. Today's sponsor is HideYourGuns.com, where you can learn the secrets to hiding your guns from criminals and other predators. It even includes advice from a special forces officer. That's HideYourGuns.com. Mr. Toll, we enjoy your program. Welcome to ours.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
Before we dive into several topics, let's tell people more about this show. Because frankly, this sounds like one that anyone with a passion for self-defense and an interest in self-defense would enjoy. Tell us more about the program.
Yeah, we have one goal in mind, Mike, and that is to help people with the most critical decision they may ever have to make. And we call that the draw or retreat decision. So we do that by reenacting common crimes that would happen to most folks. You could be walking into a robbery or be involved somehow in rescuing somebody from a rape. It just occurs in front of you, and you have to make an instant decision. Shall I draw, or should I be the best witness law enforcement has? And that's the goal of the show, and that's what we try to project in each of the shows that we do. And we will do that, like I said, by reenacting very common crimes. We'll break them down into two parts, that event leading up to the shoot and the event leading after the shoot, because you need to have as much knowledge after you decide to fire as you did before you had to fire, actually. And that is the reason why we do that. We do that with a panel of experts, usually from law enforcement or the shooting community, and we discuss the best techniques that you as an individual out there could use if you have to make that draw or retreat decision.
You get get professional actors to reenact these scenes. For people who haven't seen the show, Mr. Toll is sitting at a table with a panel of experts, like you said, and then you see clips of the scenario of an actual crime that happened, and then you guys discuss, you know, what should have been done, what the person should have done. It airs Mondays, I believe, at 10:30 p.m. Why is this show resonating so well?
Mike, I tell you, the reason why I think it's resonating well is because no one else is discussing the draw or retreat decision. Mm-hmm. And no one thinks about the draw and retreat decision until they walk into a store and they have a gun on their waist, and all of a sudden someone comes in with a gun to rob the place. And then you are faced with, what am I going to do? Now, I think a lot of gun owners eventually start thinking about, hey, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm putting a gun on, and I'm walking out the door. What happens if I have to use it?
Yeah.
And that's what we try to fill in.
Are the answers sometimes not so clear? Do you sometimes discuss a scenario in which maybe some panel experts have differing answers and outlooks on what should have happened?
Yeah, I'll be quite honest with you, Mike. In most cases, we are going to suggest to you not to draw.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no life in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take the robbery, for instance, and they're coming in for the money, and they clearly are there to get the money, then there's no reason for you to get involved. Just look at him, try to remember as much about him as you can so that you can give a proper description when law enforcement arrives. Unless he throws that weapon out in front of you and the gunfight pursues that, then you need to get involved. But other than that, why would you want to? You're not law enforcement. We're not encouraging you to become law enforcement.
Because the goal is to survive. That's what you're saying.
You want to go home. That's it. Want to go home, put your feet up, watch TV.
You say on your program, once that you've quoted, 2,000 people a day use a gun in self-defense to stop a crime or to save a life. So this is not something that is theoretical. This is something that happens hundreds of times a day in America. Now, we were talking about a home robbery earlier. You said that most of the time not drawing the gun is the answer. In terms of a home robbery, is there an answer there, or does it depend on the situation?
Well, it depends upon the situation, of course, but what we do is we try to encourage husbands and wives and adult family members to be prepared for a situation like that. So in that particular scenario where they have dropped their weapon, they've lost control of the situation, your wife is there or someone else is there who can move in behind you and help. That's the ideal situation. If it happens in your home and there's someone in there, there's no good reason not to use your weapon if you can.
How many shows have you guys taped?
Oh, we're in starting our seventh season.
Wow.
I'll have to break them down for you, Mike.
That's fine, but sadly, I guess my point is there's not an end of content for these shows. You guys are always having different scenarios where criminals are coming up with unique ways to get the money or to do whatever they're trying to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, it happens every day.
Yeah.
And every one of them is a little bit different, and we try to place you in that scenario. And the second goal of the show is make you think. And that's where I get the emails, and I get hundreds of them from people who are saying, "Thank you very much, James. I never thought about that." And that's the greatest compliment we can get.
This is what you call mental preparation that you don't get on the firing range.
Preparing them mentally.
Yeah.
Right? No one else does that. You can't get that at the range. You can't get that with an instructor. You can only get that on Stop the Threat because we place you in that situation and we make you think about it.
What do you recommend for self-defense in the home? We were discussing this off-air, but in terms of, what people what would you get yourself for self-defense in the home?
Well, I have a variety of weapons, and depending upon your level of training, and I can't stress training here enough, but depending upon your level of training, if you don't train often, when I say that, I mean if you only go out to the range once or twice or maybe three times a year, I don't think you want to have less than a shotgun. If you train regularly, you're probably going to have multiple weapons in your home. So we base the answer to your question on the amount of training they have, but I strongly suggest that everyone have a shotgun.
What about storage? That's one that's kind of discussed a lot among gun owners because, obviously, if you have children in the home, you want to keep them, in a safe. You want to handle them safely and keep them stored safely. But let's say it's just a husband and wife. How should they store the gun at night when a break-in could occur? Because the reason I'm asking is because I know you've lived in California, and there's a new law in San Francisco that I think was upheld by a court recently requires that a gun be locked up at all times when it's not being carried. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you might as well have a boat anchor because that's just how effective that's going to be. You need a loaded weapon. You need it in a place that you can get to it. If you have children, and most folks do, if you have children, then you need to secure that weapon in a location that they are unaware of and they can't get to. But you can get to it quickly. And there's a number of different vault ideas that on the market today that work very successfully.
So, in other words, you would tell the politicians in San Francisco they're nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people ask me a very simple question. They say, "James, is your gun loaded?" "Yes, of course it's loaded." "Do you have a bullet in the chamber?" "Yes, of course I do." And if you don't have it in the chamber, you're giving the bad guy the edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you need to train.
Let's talk about safe rooms also. We don't have to talk specifics, but you've been an advocate for safe rooms in a home. We have people in our audience who don't even know what a safe room is right now. So tell us more just what a safe room is and why people should consider getting one.
You know, I'm a real advocate of safe rooms, and we have, if you go to the website or you email me, I can send you a list of items for a safe room, over 50 things that can be done to make your home more safe, and in particular, that safe room. We did a reenactment recently that I really enjoyed, and that's where they had turned the attic into a safe room. So the mother and children, when they saw someone enter their backyard and they were in fear for their life, they pull the ladder down and they go upstairs into the attic and they pull the ladder back up again. Hmm. And up there they have water and things like that. And I thought, well, you know, that's the most, I mean, that's the most overlooked safe room in anyone's home is the attic.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
Now, does a safe room, you can build a safe room that's, you know, enforced so that somebody fires, you know, into it, it's not going to enter the room. Is that the kind of safe room you're talking about, or is
actually, you know, that's Hollywood safe room.
Uh-huh.
If you have a problem where you think someone's going to come in with a fully automatic weapon and they're going to attack your home, then you're in a whole nother category from the people that I talk to.
Uh-huh.
If you're just regular folks who want their wife or their children, and they train them to go to a particular area in the house, then I like the attic. If you don't have an attic, then prepare a room. Usually people will think, well, gee, what's the only room I have in the house with a lock on it? That's the bathroom.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to suggest to you that that's the best room in the house, but there are some items you can add to that room, including changing the door and the lock,
sure,
which will make it a very secure room.
Because a lot of times the bathroom is the one that you use a penny or a dime or a screwdriver to get in when the kid likes it.
That's why I said, let's change the lock.
That's right. I would encourage people to do that as well.
Right.
Mr. Toll, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's examine some of the common mistakes people make in self-defense. And let's even discuss what you should do maybe during a mass shooting. We'll be right back.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals
now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters.
You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques,
where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun-caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
Off the Grid News, because you want a different paradigm.
Mr. Toe, before the break, I mentioned several things we were going to discuss. One thing, let's talk about your background, because your background, honestly, is as fascinating as the program, in my opinion. You're a shooting competitor. You're a Second Amendment advocate. You've worked in the security and law enforcement community for 25 years, and you presently maintain your license as a private investigator. Now, all of that is you know, very interesting, but I wanted to talk about this. You have, in the past, had some contact with President Ronald Reagan. Tell us about that and how you got involved with that and what you actually did.
Yeah, we were very lucky at that. We were selected to go up and augment the Secret Service at Ronald Reagan's ranch. So we had an outpost out there, remote and high, to observe or oversee the ranch and possibly any trespassers to the ranch. We were very lucky indeed to be able to do that, and probably the most interesting comment I could make there was that President Reagan was the most decent human being I've ever met in my life. I don't know of any other president who would drive up to a location as remote as ours in his Jeep, wearing his cowboy hat, get out of his Jeep, come over to us, James, would you like some water? How's everything going? How's your family?
Wow.
And shake our hands and spend 5 or 10 minutes with us.
Yeah.
And then get back into his Jeep and leave. I mean, that to me, I don't know. It's an individual who you can go your whole life and never meet anyone as genuine as Ronald Reagan was.
Yeah, we're recording this right now. We're located in Illinois. We actually have he was born in Illinois. Yeah. His parents actually met, believe it or not, about 10 miles from where I'm sitting right now. And his birth home, where he was born, is about 60 miles from here, and where he grew up is about 40 miles. So, so yeah, you're talking to a person who is fascinated by anything related to who we call Dutch. Yeah. And you've actually seen him chopping wood. That's the other thing.
I have seen him chopping wood. Indeed, I have. And it is true that he did.
Yeah, that's all. And that wasn't just for political campaign ads,
no,
I would hope.
No, he actually did. The house that they stayed in at the ranch was very small, actually. And the fireplace was pretty necessary to stay warm. So, yeah, he was cutting wood for a good reason.
Let me ask you this. One thing I didn't ask you earlier is what made you want to get involved in this show that we're discussing, Stop the Threat? What got you involved in it?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Mike. You know, I'll tell you what. So many questions that people have asked me over the years. I had a radio show early on before I went into television. And I would get the same kind of questions from people asking me what I thought they should do if this happened. And I sat down with producers, and we moved into television, and I said, this is what we want to do. We want a show where gun owners can go and sit down and watch and see reenactments of real crimes and place themselves in there and solve the equation. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we wanted to do, and that's what we've done.
What? Let's talk about this before we let you go. What are some of the more common mistakes people make when it comes to self-defense? I think you kind of implied one of them earlier, which is assume that you're going to draw your gun every single time. But what are some other ones?
Yeah, I think probably the one that I want to stress the most is that you're not law enforcement. Don't try to become law enforcement. And if your life is not in danger, there's no reason for you to draw your weapon. The most important thing you can do is go home at night, put your feet up, and watch television. So don't become a hero. I know there are a lot of people out there who are trained to do that. They have a law enforcement background or a military background. I'm not trying to discourage them. But I would probably say to you, as I've said a number of times in the past, that the very next terrorist attack or an attack by someone who is terrifying is going to be witnessed by a civilian, probably,
mm-hmm.
before law enforcement. And if that civilian is armed, he can save a life or change the way the results take place.
Speaking of that, some people are calling the gentleman who killed 9 people in a church in South Carolina a terrorist. We can debate that another time. But in terms of preparing for a mass shooting, though, what could you do? I mean, what can you do for something like that just comes out of the blue and a man starts? Go ahead.
Mike, you need to be armed and trained.
Yeah.
That's all. Go down and train for being able to make that decision. Go to the range. Spend some time with an instructor. Just going to the range and shooting at a static target is not your answer. You need to get with an instructor and tell him what you're interested in, and he will show you methods and tactics to do that.
One thing I was reading I forgot where you wrote it, but you were talking about one specific aspect of training that you sometimes disagree with experts on, and that is shooting headshots on the target. Tell us what you think about that.
Yeah, I'm a real strong proponent of this. I mean, again, a lot of people will ask me, you know, what do I do if? If there is someone who is about to take a life, shooting them in the chest, in the heart, is not going to stop them from doing that. If you're not training for a headshot at 5, 10, and 15 yards, then you're not going to be able to do it the first time you think of it. If you want to stop someone, you're going to have to do it with a headshot. Nobody really wants to discuss headshots. That's a little bit too gory for most people.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, if there is a life in danger and you have the opportunity of 5, 10, or 15 yards, and you're going to get one shot maybe two, it better be the headshot. Because otherwise, someone's going to get hurt, maybe you, maybe an innocent bystander.
You might be talking about it, choosing whether the bad guy gets killed or a good guy gets killed, but essentially it's what you're talking about.
That's about it.
Let's say this before we end the show. Stop the Threat airs on, this is important information, isn't it? Stop the Threat airs on Sportsman Channel, that is DirecTV Channel 605 and Dish Network Channel 395. DirecTV 605, Dish Network 395. Mr. Toll, what else should we say before we let you go?
Thank you for having me on the show, Mike. I'll certainly be glad to come on anytime and discuss this. This is a great subject, and you have a great listenership.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Our sponsor today was HideYourGuns.com. Learn the secrets to hiding your guns from criminals and other predators. It includes advice from a special forces officer. That's HideYourGuns.com. Visit OffTheGridNews.com for stories from our other panel of experts related to self-defense and firearms. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. Keywords, Off the Grid News. Please join us again next week for another edition of Off the Grid Radio.